To be an entrepreneur, you have to have vision, confidence, and purpose. And like so many other business owners, you have to find resources that can help you through tough times.
Comcast Rise changed my life. They put me in a unique space where I could scale on my own.
More than 4,700 businesses have benefited from the Comcast Rise program. Apply today at ComcastRise.com for a variety of business, marketing, and tech makeovers on us.
Keep rising.
Para ser emprendedor, debes tener el propósito de Claudia y encontrar recursos que te ayuden a mejorar tu negocio, especialmente en tiempos difíciles.
Gracias a la ayuda de Comcast, pude continuar y hacer evolucionar mi negocio.
Más de 4,700 empresas han recibido asesorías de marketing, tecnología y subsidios para sus negocios gracias al programa de Comcast Rise. Postula hoy en ComcastRise.com y ayúdate a crecer.
Welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the space where we create meaningful conversations around supplier diversity, diverse business entrepreneurship, and diversity, equity, and inclusion with some of the industry's most engaging and successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
Hello, friends. It's Tanya Isley, publisher of MBE Magazine, and welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of MBE Magazine, where we are driving the conversation and discussions around diversity and diverse-owned businesses. And joining me today is a gentleman I've known a very long time and whom I am very proud to call my friend, Brian Martin. Brian is the founder of Brightstar Collective, a Las Vegas-based boutique consulting firm that focuses on three verticals: music and artist management, strategy and business development, as well as corporate diversity training. Brian is also a community leader who serves on the Human Rights Campaign's National Board of Governors, as well as HRC's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Liaison for the Las Vegas community. So after that introduction, let everyone know, Brian will be joining me here on Diversity Discourse as co-host from time to time, and he's also going to fill in when I'm absent. So welcome, Brian. It is a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Tanya. Thank you for that most gracious introduction. So happy to be here.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. This is just going to be a short version of Diversity Discourse, because I want to do a couple of things as our intro, is just talk a little bit about the purpose of what we want to do in this space and how we came up with the name. And a little bit later on, I want to talk about the ever-evolving language of the diversity landscape. So with that, when I became publisher of MBE Magazine about 3 years ago, I knew there were a lot of things I wanted to address in the magazine to help diverse business owners grow and succeed. But there are some other topics around diversity that I wanted to just explore that print just couldn't accommodate. So I figured, you know what, let's start a podcast. We'll have different people come on to have conversations around diversity, around supplier diversity, around workforce and DEI. But the big thing was coming up with the name. So, Brian, we can talk a little bit about the whole naming thing. We went back and forth about it. And I think the first thing I started was Mosaic Matters. Where I came up with Mosaic, I do not know.
I was flowing with it. I was like, okay. I had a visual.
But then we figured it had to have diversity in it. So one of the things was diversity doings and Diversity Matters. So, Brian, talk a little bit about what you thought about that whole process and how you saw that coming together.
Well, it was interesting because as we've done so many other things, we brainstorm and eventually come up with something. So in having what I thought was a clear understanding of your vision and where you saw the magazine and the podcast being an extension of the magazine, we were looking through a lens of what was happening right now. Right. So we knew that there was an opportunity, to your point, in supplier diversity in the corporate DEI space. And as that language was ever changing, we realized that there was something actionable and that, it couldn't be like it needed movement. It needed almost a call to action. And I think in just thinking through that, and I don't even remember which of us came up with the word or I really don't. But I know we heard it. We knew.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah. And then it was just diversity discourse, but it had to have something to remind people or to let people know that this was a part of MBE magazine. So it's like, okay, we have to put the tag, the official podcast of MBE magazine. So that started the journey into this whole podcast vision that we had. And I don't want people to think that we're just going to have conversations about supply diversity or DEI on here. You know, this, I want to use this space as a platform for diverse businesses as well. And we'll have someone here that we've covered in past issues of the magazine. We'll introduce the audience to new ones that we've discovered. But what we want to do is get to know them better and talk about their journeys, the highs, the lows, what they've learned. And hopefully their stories will educate, empower, and inspire others. And so, you know, we've covered a lot of diverse businesses in the magazine over the years.
You have.
Whether it's been minority-owned, women-owned. What we haven't paid a lot of attention to is LGBTQ-owned, as well as disabled veterans. So we want to do a better job with that, and not only in the magazine, but this will be the space to talk about that. And I know, Brian, you're out in the community in Las Vegas working with a lot of small and diverse-owned businesses, particularly those in the entertainment space. Yep. What do you think would be the best way we could sort of talk to them and talk about their issues, or how we could get them to come on and join us?
I think that, you know, creating the space and, you know, extending the opportunity is the most impactful gesture. And to your point, you know, we're at such an intersectional moment, even as it relates to the DEI and supply diversity conversation and landscape, in that hopefully coming out of the pandemic, we have so many people that are becoming first-time entrepreneurs. You know, so many people are reinventing themselves. And so we now have what were our budding younger entrepreneurs are now kind of moving to sophomore or veteran status, because you've got this whole crop of entrepreneurs that are going to need support. So I just think making the services available and connecting with, you know, on the corporate front, you know, our corporate leaders who still have companies who have established supplier diversity initiatives and who've made a commitment to diversity and inclusion, and different organizations that are aligned in that way as well. And again, I think this podcast is going to be a fantastic extension of all the great work that you already do in the magazine. And I just really think the awareness and engaging with all communities across the whole spectrum of diversity, you know, AAIP, the trans community, the Latinx community, you know, I just think that it's such an opportunity to bring everybody together to have open conversations around how we collaborate and move forward together.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Definitely. And just as a side note, Brian and I both have worked in supplier diversity before, and he's also done some DEI work. And as I mentioned, he's doing some work with HRC. But on the other side of Brian is the artist management side. And I want him to talk a little bit about his work with a particular well-known artist, AKA the Funky Diva herself. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about who
the lady with. Yes. My business partner and collaborative partner, Miss Maxine Jones, one of the original members of the legendary R&B group In Vogue. So, you know, Max and I have partnered now for a couple of years. We've been friends for several years, but we've partnered, and now we have our own content studio. It's called Star Max Custom Content Studios here in Las Vegas. So Max is recording her music here, and I'm writing, and kind of going back to where my life started as a childhood, you know, budding actor, singer, performer, dancer, thought I was going to do everything and ended up not really doing much of anything. But I've also always existed behind the scenes in the entertainment industry, as you know, from my childhood. So it's kind of cool to be able to bring it full circle and have a partner like Max's makes it even better. So we've got a content space for live content and video production and full recording studio, little dance and fitness area. So we'll be creating all of our own custom content, and that includes music and some amazing on-site productions around various topics that we can't wait for people to see.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And listen, tell Max I want to get her on here to talk about her journey, because She's still performing, but to go from simply an artist to now a business owner has got to be one heck of a journey. And I would love to see her, to talk to her, her thought process around that.
It's really interesting because, you know, knowing her, I didn't even realize that, you know, she was an entrepreneur prior to joining the group. You know, she was like the number one braider in the Bay Area, had like a waiting list a couple years long. So there was always that entrepreneurial spirit within her family. And then she and her sister, Rosie, you know, who was a very well-known artist and, you know, established in her own right. So they've always kind of done that. But to your point, now coming out of the group, when you were dealing with the machine and the industry, her perspective and her 30 years of experience is really valuable because it really does help me, you know, navigate and avoid certain landmines and different situations. Because obviously those that know the history of the group know that, you know, they've experienced a lot in their journey as a group and the individual ladies collective.
So, I do want to talk to her about that.
Let's make it happen.
We will, because I'm sure there's someone out there who is an MBE or WBE who wants them to hear some inspiration from her on her journey. So absolutely.
Yeah. And she's got a new single coming out in a couple of weeks. Plug for the 30th anniversary of the Funky Diva.
I'm excited about it. I am. I'm very excited about it. And I want to talk a little bit about diversity. You brought something to my attention the other day that I had no idea. Now, we know I've been doing this, been in this business for a long time or around this business for a long time. We've gone from diversity to diversity and inclusion to then diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you said now HRC is going diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what was the other one?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I can't publicly state, but what I can say is that there's some actionable language that is going to be rolled out. So much like the LGBTQ.
And how that evolved.
All the emissions of it. So now we've landed on LGBTQ+. Yeah. So I think that's kind of hopefully create space so that everybody is, even if we identify, you know, new ways that people identify can feel like they have a space. But I can give you some backstory on the DEI language. So, you know, as we were talking, you know, even when I started into this space, you know, it was just like you and I know we were very often the only Black people in the room. Our career started so early.
Right.
So to now hear that there was a thing called diversity and inclusion. Obviously, there was an interest for me, you know, my background as a freelance trainer. And then that quickly evolved to what we now call DEI. Well, I know organizations that have also added belonging. So you might even see job postings of different companies that have now gone DEIB. So belonging and people are looking for actionable words. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when other iterations of this and how it plays out. And I hope that we could just land on something that creates a space for everybody. But I do know that the call to action is looking for something that speaks to outcomes and intended outcomes and anticipated and expected outcomes. So that is particularly exciting for me. So more to come on that.
That is so interesting. And what's more interesting is going to be how anything is going to be received. You know, when you start adding a bunch of other letters and all of that, how is that going to be received? You know, by the masses.
It's interesting. And that makes me flash on something that happened last week where briefly I was out at an event for, and I won't say that the office the person's running for, but it's a pretty high ranking local office here. And, you know, they said, we're talking about DEI. And I was asking, you know, how do you plan to integrate a DEI mindset or strategy into your infrastructure, if you will, you know, if you're elected? And they immediately said, well, you know, I don't particularly care for that title. There are people that support me that really have a problem with it. And I immediately said, my response immediately was, you know, well, how does that differ from CIO, COO, CEO? And is there a particular demographic or type of person that has a problem with it? You know, and he immediately had to own it. And I kind of felt like he was flat-footed a little bit. But then it went to, you know, why are you shying away from the reality to call it something else? So to your point, it's going to be interesting.
It is. Listen, if people listen to me, they'll all just go back, Chief of Mosaic Matters, Chief of Mosaic Thumbs. I'm going to use Mosaic somehow. I don't know how, but
Mosaic creates a space. I mean, a mosaic is simply that, you know, so when you think about the meaning of a mosaic, there is room for contrast and everything. So I'm rocking with it. Let's make it the middle name, maybe.
But you know what? And it just dawned on me where I got that from. Years ago, when I first got into supplier diversity, there used to be with AAF, Advertising something Federation, I remember. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. And they had mm-hmm. a Mosaic, like awards or something. I think it was Mosaic Awards. I think that must be where it came with that Mosaic, why it's stuck in my head. So that's pretty good.
That clearly.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to get them on here, too, to talk about that. Somebody's going to talk about Mosaic.
That's it's interesting. I was actually at an event today, a Black event with, Black Giving Circle with the LBMPD Foundation, where they're raising money to provide police outreach training programs in communities of color. So it was a room full of just Black excellence. So there was some supplier diversity executives in the room from some of the major properties here. So we've got some exciting guests lined up for future episodes. So I really want to talk about how they're navigating that landscape here in Las Vegas. The casino and gaming industry and the companies are global. So it'll make for some ripping conversation.
All right. Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I want to say this about when we talk about diversity, and I know based upon my experiences and who I am, and I can, you know, I speak for a lot of people. A lot of times people think diversity, first thing they go to is race and the whole social construct of race with being Black or and not necessarily ethnicity. But I think what gets one group I think that gets left out of the diversity conversation, Native American.
You are absolutely right.
I think they get left out of the conversation, and I'm going to make it a point to make sure we reach out to a lot of the Native American, our Native American brothers and sisters, and get them on here and get them in the magazine, because I would love to talk to them about their perspective on diversity, particularly as it relates to small business owners and supplier diversity.
Mm-hmm,
is it something that is championing them? Do they think that, you know, we're in this space that we're doing enough? So that's one promise that I'm making here out the gate, that we're going to reach out to everybody and make it make it our business to promote everybody in this space, Mosaic space. I'm going to keep coming back to that.
Yes, I love it. And you know, to our listeners and the people that, you know, we're going to get acquainted with along the way, you know, if there are communities that we're missing, please let us know. You know, we'll give you our contact information, because we want to be intentional, you know, creating that space so that any population or group that's underrepresented has a space and a voice. Because we both know, by virtue of our lived experience, and representation matters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. That's key. Like you said, anybody have any ideas about or show topics or people you would like to hear us talk to and interview and come on, talk about their businesses, talk about what they're doing in the diversity space? Doesn't matter how old they are, how young they are. We have a section in our magazine called Up Next. So I don't forget about my young people, because they're going to be doing the things for us in the next generation. So you can email us at editor@mbemag.com and let us know. Send us some show topics. Send us some people you want us to cover, some things you want us to talk about. I have some exciting people lined up to come on here to talk to, people who are really big in the supplier diversity space, in the DEI space, major players and thought leaders, as well as some people who are diverse business owners and are doing some outstanding things, not only with their business, but in the community at large. So we're going to have some fun. Don't think this is just going to be us just talking and doing whatever. We're going to have some fun. Maybe even have a little party every now and again.
you know, tell you something else I just flashed on, and you've thought about it, but I'd also like to engage our certification agencies.
Oh, absolutely.
And have them come on and kind of talk about, because I think that that's kind of a little known fact, how that world works and how to navigate that process. We both know it, you know, and how intimidating it can be for some, and what the requirements are. And, you know, and then once you get it, how do you use, you know, so I think that that's a whole nother set of content that, you know, I would love for us to explore.
Oh, absolutely. I want to bring on the presidents of the major certifying bodies, but as well as reach out to some of the regional and state organizations as well, you know, because they're doing a lot of good work in the supplier diversity community.
Yeah.
As well as bring on some people who are major players at some of these corporations. I know several that I plan to talk to.
Yes. Yes.
That's going to, you know, the purpose, like I said, is just get some information out there to help these diverse business owners grow and succeed in what they're doing. So that's our purpose. And anything anybody
we've got needs. Unique needs.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is I want to address those. And we're going to bring some experts on here to talk about wealth building, talk about financial planning, that type of thing. Talk about marketing and branding, that type of thing. So, and we're doing quarterly workshops on branding. So we're sending out information on our newsletter. If you sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse, find out the latest information, you know, what's going on in the industry, as well as what we're doing. Because like I said, we got some great branding workshops that are going to be going on quarterly. We have some experts who are going to be coming on here to talk about different topics. So it's an exciting time to be connected with us. So give us a follow on here and come back and listen to it.
I'm so passionate. I think I intimidate people because this subject matter, you know, it's just so personal, and it's something that I know you are as invested in as I am, you know, because I've learned so much from you on this journey, and it's one that I don't think will ever end, you know, because I continue to learn more every day.
Every day. So this has been great. This is our first one. We chopped it up a little bit, let you all know what we're going to do, what we have planned, what we're currently doing, and hopefully we'll see you back here next time. All right? This is Tanya Isley, MBE Magazine publisher, along with Brian Martin, founder of Bright Star Collective. Thanks so much. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that we can join you again. And if you appreciate the show, jump on over to iTunes and give us some stars. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at mbemag.com. And to find out which guests and topics we'll be discussing next, sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse. That's mbemag.com/pulse. We'll talk to you next time.